Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Essen, and I'm joined remotely by my regular discoursers, Travis Hudson and Andrew Riley. Today, we'll be talking about the ending of our fitness dare. For those of you who have read the website, you may know that for the past 3 months, we've been challenging each other and ourselves to something we call our Rampant Discourse Fitness Dare, where each of us has tried to, in our own way, a different workout and possibly a diet plan to go along with it to try and get into some better shape as we transition into middle age, later middle age, senility, I don't know, whatever it is. So I figure maybe we should start off with maybe a brief discussion about what we did for our workout. So Andrew, why don't you let us know what was your workout plan for our fitness dare?
Well, I think it's important to start off by saying that it was the plan, because when you have something going as long as the dare did, things are going to change. My plan was to get back into the habit of running regularly. I mentioned in the intro piece that I had my highest period or best period of fitness in my teen years when I was running cross country. So I was looking to run my cross country fitness program, at least get it started again. And that meant running 4 times a week for at least 3 miles a day, so 12 miles a week, and then increasing that over time. I knew I wasn't going to be able to do that from the start, so even just getting out and running for the first period of time, 4 times a week was the goal, and then build it up to the 3 miles. And I got up to 3 miles again, so success in that regard. But then stuff happened, and it's a little bit harder to get out and go running these days. So I haven't had as much success later on. So instead, the fitness transitioned to a new plan where basically, if you know the Neela Ray workouts, I've been doing that with my kids as PE class at home while the kids have been stuck home via the coronavirus outbreak.
So I'm not familiar with the Neela Ray workouts. What can you give some color there?
Sure. So Neela Ray is a fitness guy whose plans are posted on social media and on the internet as the Batman workout or the 300 workout. And it's various body weight workouts that you can do pretty easily in your home gym or in the office even. And it's just, you know, you do a large number of repetitions of these lunges and squats and jumps and push-ups and sit-ups, etc. Really basic workouts, but you keep doing them a lot every day. So it's a little bit like the Herschel Walker workout plan, except the style and design of the workouts is designed to give you a sense of fitness like you're your superhero best friend, or you want to be a ripped Spartan. If you change your diet, maybe it'll work out, but it's a way of encouraging you to stick to it.
Didn't we try to do a competition years ago about the Batman workout?
Yes, same guy.
Okay.
Yeah, I still have that printout in my exercise room, actually, with the Batman workout.
It's in my Google Docs, still shows up at the tops for some reason, taunting me, I guess.
I have a copy in my work office, which I haven't been to in over a week, but I've been using it at home, similar things to it. Not putting the kids through quite as an intense version, but same kind of idea. Those kinds of workouts with those kinds of repetitions, 3-4 times a week.
All right, so Travis, why don't you tell us about your workout plan?
So mine was overly complicated, and I simplified it about halfway through. It was before the whole coronavirus started. I'd already modified it. So the plan was DDP yoga, which has a grid to give you a schedule for 13 weeks, which exactly segged with matched up with our timeline. And it starts off as 3 days per week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, at the beginner level, which is what I was doing. So I slotted in those Bruce Lee exercises every Tuesday and Thursday, and I alternated. I went abs, arms, back, legs, because I'm OCD and had to do it in alphabetical order. So every other Tuesday was abs, every other Thursday was arms. That lasted for a little while. The idea was I would start seeing increases, like doing more reps or doing more weights or something. I didn't really see an appreciable difference, and I felt like once I got to the certain level of DDP yoga where you're supposed to be doing 2 workouts a day, and I just didn't have that amount of time, so I just took the second workout and would do that on the Tuesday or on the Thursday, which basically meant I was doing like ab workouts every Tuesday and Thursday. So that worked out well. And then the last DDP yoga workout was the longest workout I've done in a long time, because it was 50 minutes long. Actually, I had to wait and do it on the weekend because I woke up on that last Friday morning, saw the time, laughed, and just turned it off and went and ate breakfast. I was like, yeah, I don't have 50 minutes to do this workout right now, because the longest before that was like just over a half an hour. So that was the hardest amount of time. I know that's a topic a little bit later maybe, but that was the hardest adjustment, was making the time every morning to do it as the workouts got longer.
Well, you said yours was overly complicated. If yours is overly complicated, I don't even know what to call mine, because before this, I would take Taekwondo class about once a week with my kids. And so I wanted to be able to maintain that. So, and I also have a number of different Beachbody programs. You may not be familiar with Beachbody, but they're the people who are behind P90X, P90X3, Insanity, so on and so forth. And so my idea was I would just pick and choose some of my favorite workouts from those, sprinkle in the Taekwondo class. And every once in a while, I also have the equipment at home to bench press at home. And so my thinking was maybe about once a week I would try to do bench pressing. Once a week I'd do Taekwondo. And then a couple other times a week I would do a P90X or P90X3 workout. So that was my general plan. And interestingly, about halfway through this challenge, I actually acquired a used copy of the Insanity DVDs. And so I sprinkled those in as well. And so mine was just a random mixture of one or two of my favorite P90X workouts, one or two of my favorite P90X3 workouts, and Taekwondo, bench pressing. I do have, I don't know, do realtors send you guys paper calendars every once in a while, inexplicably, like every year? I get those a bunch. Like they're like magnets, so you can put them on the refrigerator. Well, okay.
I used to get a pie.
Okay. Well, I don't get... You said a pie?
Yeah, a pie.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought that's what he said.
Speaking of fitness, that's the opposite.
Yeah. I guess my realtors don't like me as much because I just get these paper calendars. Anyway, I have one of those in my workout room. And so what I would do is I'd write down every day what I did to help me keep track of things. So that was kind of my workout plan.
Yeah, I had a notebook that I was keeping track for the Bruce Lee days to say I did this many push-ups, I did this many curl-ups, I did this many whatever each of the one workout was, what weight I did and all that. And there's a lot of tracking for not really much gain, in my opinion.
Yeah. For me, I know one thing I've always struggled with is even when I exercise consistently and can stick to some sort of program, and usually because my main problem is the nutrition side, not the fitness side. And so I will often have trouble because I'll do a workout. I'm like, oh great, I did a workout. Now I can go have a milkshake or something like that. And I'll drink back or eat back twice as many calories as I burned off.
I was about to say, that's like you do the math to figure out how much you actually have to run or whatever to burn off those calories.
Absolutely. Like I've over the past couple of years, I've definitely figured out that my problem is the nutrition side. It's not the workout side. And so to me, just as important, if not more important, to the workout plan was pairing a nutrition plan with it that I could stick to and that would help me to see some of these gains that I was hoping to see. Andrew, did you have any kind of nutrition aspect or a diet aspect to your fitness there?
When we first started talking about this, you know, the pairing of nutrition with the workout is an obvious thing that we knew we needed to handle. And I explained, I didn't think that would be something I'd be able to do because so little of what I eat is really inside my control. I don't cook our dinners. I don't plan our meal set. The kids are very particular about what they're going to eat. And if the family meal is not something like that, then, well, I'm out of luck. So I don't get to choose the meals. I do get to choose snacks and stuff, but I don't think that I have as much of a problem with snacking. What I did though was I tried to make sure that I was actually accurate with that I paid attention to what I was snacking on more, and I think I did a pretty good job in minimizing my snacking even within the scope of what I normally would do. But it did result in a couple of interesting conversations. On some of those runs, my kids would want to go with me, and I generally speaking said no, because even though I love spending time with my kids and getting the kids interested in working out is really, really good, the drawback is that if I'm going running and they're going running with me, then they're holding me back. I can't go as fast. I just can't. And if I'm not going as fast as I can, I'm either taking a lot longer to do the same number of miles, or I'm not getting as good of a workout, or both. But on at least a couple of occasions, the kids came with me, and my youngest daughter came with me, and she just turned 7, so she was 6 years old when we were doing this run. And, you know, we ran a mile and a half, and she stuck with me pretty well that entire time. I was quite impressed. And we came home, and we're sitting down drinking water, and she's asking me, how many calories did we burn? To Travis's point and your point, I was like, well, we went this far, and that's this many calories probably, and for you, maybe a little bit less. And yeah, that's about 3 Oreos. Good job. You ran 3 Oreos.
I was going to say maybe a lunch bag of chips or something.
So we making sure not to eat too many Oreos is what it comes down to.
So how disappointed was she to hear that?
She rolled with it pretty well.
Yeah. Cause
she was like, sweet, I hear I can eat 3 Oreos. Let's go.
I'll be honest. It sounds like she took it better than I typically take things when I see, like, oh, I just did like a 20-minute workout. I'm going to have a slice of cake. Oh, no. I guess I can only have a third of a slice of cake to break even there.
So which one? It's not about breaking even. It's about knowing that if you're going to eat the cake anyway, that's why you're doing this. And were you really going to eat that cake anyway? And if you weren't really going to eat the cake anyway, then you're doing yourself the disservice. And really, you know, I understand maybe you need a little more help with that.
So which motivator works better for you guys, though? Thinking about it like, oh, I just ran this much, so burned this many calories. Or if I eat this thing, I need to run X amount of miles. You know what? Like, you can think about it in terms of calories or how much work you have to expend.
My brain naturally wants to think that, oh, I just did a workout, I deserve, or it doesn't, the way I justify it is I say I need to refuel my body, right? So I need to eat something to help build those muscles up. When in reality, it's probably just I need a reward to reward myself for working out. So that's the way my brain wants to think. And so I try whenever I can to, when I see a slice of cake, think, you know, how many hours do I have to work out? How many push-ups do I have to do in order to eat that piece of cake? And that is usually a pretty good turnoff for me for that piece of cake, to think that, yeah, I'm going to have to sweat for like an hour and a half in order to justify eating that slice of cake.
Do push-ups to eat the cake.
Yeah.
Put it on the floor.
Yeah, and that'll make quite the mess.
I'll spend a little more time and just say one more thing about the diet portion of it. I try to refocus the diet when I had a choice, especially my lunches. I do have a little more flexibility with my lunches, to the kinds of things that I was eating in high school, especially tuna sandwiches. I love tuna sandwiches. I don't eat very many of them anymore. And tuna itself is pretty full of protein. And as long as you're making your tuna salad reasonably well and you're eating whole grain wheat, it's probably pretty healthy, especially compared to some of the stuff I would normally eat for lunch. So I ate a lot of tuna.
So I'll hop in there on that. Yeah, that was a large part of at least the first month of the challenge for me. Was I tried eating breakfasts of nuts, dark chocolate, and the bastardized version of bulletproof coffee, which keeps you surprisingly full. You wouldn't think eating nuts and chocolate, which doesn't sound that healthy, but it's pure fat and protein. But then, yeah, my lunch was generally some sort of salad and then just the tuna fish, even not even on bread. Or I usually had there's like thin pretzel crisps that you can get at the store. I would use those or something, or crackers maybe, but yeah. But then, I don't know, after about a month, I got sick of eating the same thing every day for breakfast and the same thing every day for lunch. So just kind of started falling back on eating leftovers for lunches a lot of times.
So for the people out there who aren't familiar, can you give a quick overview? What is Bulletproof Coffee? What's the idea behind
so
that?
So there's an actual brand of Bulletproof Coffee, I believe. So you can buy their ingredients, like their coffee. But the main thing is coffee. They use I think it's called MCT oil. It's basically coconut oil. Like it's a higher refined version or something like that. And they put official Bulletproof Coffee, I'm pretty sure, puts butter in it. It might even specifically be Kerrygold butter. I don't know what's specific about that, besides maybe it's a higher fat butter or something. My bastardized version is just make coffee, put coconut oil in it, and I still put creamer in it because I need something to change the flavor some still. And I have to let it sit for a little bit because the oil kind of tends to then sit on the top until it melts more and can stir in. But other than that, you don't really notice that there's anything else in your coffee.
It's funny that both you mentioned tuna, because that was actually a key part of my initial. I get into trouble because I don't bring food for lunch, and I'm like, oh, I need to eat something for lunch, and I'll go out to, if I'm lucky, I'll go out to Subway and not get chips and a drink and everything and a soda. But if I'm unlucky, then I will go, I'll splurge on the soda and the chips, or I'll go to fast food or something even worse. So for me, it was really important to bring food to work as often as possible. And a tuna salad sandwich was by far the easiest thing that I could think of to prepare. We have a Costco membership. I'd go and get these giant, you know, I'd get like 6 or 8, whatever, tubs of tuna at a time. And it's like 3 ingredients. You need the bread, the tuna, mayonnaise, and I guess slices of provolone cheese. And so that was also a huge part of, if I didn't have anything better to make, then I'd say, all right, well, I'll make some tuna salad sandwich. And it was fairly filling, and I didn't feel too bad about eating it either.
Yeah, so long as you do proportions right. You know, provolone is delicious to have, but it's definitely not a requirement. You want to add some greens.
Yeah, I would try to add spinach to it. So I guess that's a good transition to me. I took the diet, I think, I don't want to say more seriously than you guys, but to me it was as big of a factor as of the workouts, if not more. And so I tried to make it a really big focus for the dare that I would try to improve my diet. And I think I did a pretty good job for the first half. So I'm not going to, I'll leave you in anticipation to figure out what happened maybe around mid to late February that changed things. But
I was going to say that should have helped you take lunch to work, but you were already taking lunch to work.
So. Yeah, no, I actually for the first month and a half, I was doing with the standards that I set for myself, a really awesome job. I was I was making salads most days to bring to work. Granted, maybe not the healthiest salad in the world. I did put some ranch dressing on it to make it palatable, but olives, banana peppers, tomatoes, mushrooms, feta cheese, and spinach. Like it's a pretty healthy meal, I thought. I was trying to plan out what I would bring every morning and make sure that I wasn't bringing too much food. I was doing a 16-8 intermittent fasting. So I would skip breakfast. And I would only eat between the time period of like 12:30 to 8:30, and I used my FitnessPal to track my calories, and I was doing a pretty good job. I was keeping right about like the level of caloric intake I was looking for, eating a lot healthier, eating a lot more veggies, a lot less, you know, McDoubles from McDonald's or chicken nuggets from Chick-fil-A,
many fewer iced teas.
Yeah. And one of my biggest weaknesses is I call them sugary drinks, but really it's just drinking my calories, period. Whether it's through alcohol or sweet teas, or not so much the sodas, but sodas also. And I went like the first couple of weeks of the challenge, I don't think I had a single soda, sweet tea, or alcoholic beverage at all. So I was feeling really good about myself. Things changed at some point, but my plan.
I think your Democratic debate podcast had a few beers involved with it.
That was an anomaly. That
may well have been the turning point as well.
Yeah.
The turning point was like a week or two after. No. I honestly can't even remember.
You drank.
Yeah.
I'll give you some credit because I ate out with you a couple times. I think usually before we did the podcast recording. And I think, didn't we go to Burger King with Gherky? During the dare,
it's entirely possible we did.
Because you had the Impossible Burger, and can't remember if you had the fries or not.
I did not have fries, and I did not get the Impossible Whopper. But Gherky and I, she got the Impossible Whopper. I got the regular Whopper.
I just remember I got like the worst thing you could possibly get on the menu. It was like the double rodeo deluxe bacon road cheeseburger or something ridiculous that was like 3,000 calories or something.
And it's tough because obviously like those are the exceptions rather than the rule. Like most days I ate much better, but on weekends when I was going to hang out with friends, I kind of allotted myself, okay, I'll let myself have a beer or two. I'll let myself have, you know, maybe a soda or whatever. But,
Oh no, I was complimenting your restraint. Like,
okay.
Saying like, I was the one eating a 3,000 calorie burger or whatever nonsense. You actually had a relatively then healthy meal.
Yeah. It's hard to consider anything at Burger King necessarily that healthy considering I know we also drink some beers that day, But I appreciate your
well, you did go to Chick-fil-A when the rest of us went to Potbelly on another day, so deduct your points there.
Yeah, don't tell anyone. So how did, I guess we've already touched on this a little bit, but, you know, how did things go in terms of sticking to the workout? Like, did, I know it's, oftentimes it's really easy to get a roaring start on a workout, and especially since it was so close to New Year's Day, it's New Year's resolutions, everyone's turning over a new leaf. Did it significantly change? Did you taper off? Did you hit any kind of walls where you just wanted to stop at any point? What were your thoughts, Andrew?
Well, for me, I had the real benefit of when we started, not so much being, you know, New Year's time frame, but just the holidays in general. And that meant that I was off of work and I could have extra free time to go do these things, which in that sense was really, really helpful for me. My kids were off as well, but I was able to get time away, even from them, to go do these things on my own. It was not too much of an issue. Once the break period was over and it was back to work, it got a lot harder because with work and commute and family time, there just isn't nearly as much time to do workouts. And that's where, you know, the diet part, I think, became more important for me to make sure that I was doing at least that little bit while I still tried to get as many workouts in as I could. You would think that the change that coronavirus has caused in this, where I haven't, as today, I left the house for the first time in like 10 days. I mean, in the sense of more than just for the workouts, I actually left the house to go to the grocery store today. But being not having to go to work hasn't actually been impactful, because with the coronavirus situation, the family being home has been more complicated than a normal break period. I can't just say, okay, kids, you're on break. No, I have to be, okay, kids, you're at home and you're just supposed to be doing your schoolwork. Get on my computer, do your schoolwork, stop doing this thing, do this other thing you're supposed to do instead. Let's do the PE class and then still find time to make my own workouts on top of that. It isn't as easy as it was during the actual break time. So I would say that the sticking points were going back to work and having to manage family on top of all of that all throughout.
Yeah, I was going to say, though, you probably had the luckiest break, I would almost say, before the virus, but that we had such a mild winter. So there wasn't, we barely got any snow this year. So
yeah, it was very tame.
If there had been snow, what would you have done to get your running in?
Well, I've run in the snow many times. That's one of the things that I enjoy about cross country, is that you kind of do the running regardless. If it's cold, you run. If it's raining, you run. If it's wet outside and you have to run through a stream, you run. You go through a lot of pairs of shoes running cross country.
Okay. I was thinking like, if there's 2 feet of snow out, I guess you're just stuck shoveling the snow as your workout instead of running.
Well, first you shovel the snow and then you go run in the street and try not to get hit by cars.
Which shouldn't be as much of a concern now if you were still running on the street.
I don't know. When I went out today, I saw a lot of people about.
Well, no, but people. Well, people or people in cars?
People in cars and people.
Okay.
Yeah, even the one I have gone out for walks with the family, my own runs, or just, you know, out in the front yard for the Neil Ray workouts, I've seen a lot of people out. People are still out in my area doing stuff. They're not with a lot of people. It's not like them seeing big groups, but there are people out and about doing stuff all the time still.
How about you, Travis? How was sticking to your workout plan?
Well, it sounds like excuses, but that first week of each block of 4 weeks, I guess, whenever we did our check-ins, I would like strain something or hurt something and have to skip a couple of workouts. So I think I probably had the worst record on that. I don't know if we're announcing that part right now or not, but I don't know. My biggest change was dropping the Bruce Lee workouts and just going with nothing but DDP yoga, which kind of streamlined things for me a lot. Because it was, honestly, I kind of dreaded some of the Bruce Lee days because it was like, they were just such different exercises. And I had all the equipment, but it was like, all right, I got to set out the bench press to do French press. I got to set out these dumbbells to do this exercise, these dumbbells to do this exercise. Because like, they were such different ones. Like I could curl more than I could reverse curl, than I could do like arm circles or something where you hold your arms straight out to the side. So different, it was just a lot of setup. And I didn't like that, as I kind of said in my posts a lot of times. I don't like having to put, I hate to say not putting effort into working out, because that's kind of the antithesis. But I liked the streamlined of just pop in a DVD, roll out the yoga mat, and just go with that.
I mean, it makes sense. Any kind of barrier to working out makes it easier to come up with an excuse for like, oh, I'm tired today, or I don't want to hurt myself, or I just don't have time. I ran into that a lot personally. Like, I think I actually stuck to my workouts pretty well all throughout. It certainly ebbed and flowed a little bit. And I had a couple of weeks where I missed my goal number of workouts. But it was really easy for me some days to be like, oh, I'll cut this workout just 5 minutes short because I know I have to put the girls to bed soon. And I want to make sure that I'm not all sweaty when I put them to bed, or whatever it was. So I can certainly understand the not wanting to put effort into working out, even though that sounds a little strange.
What? Maybe it's not effort. It's time. Mm-hmm. Like, I felt like if I spent so much time setting stuff up, that was less time I would be spending working out. And that, you know, that either had to come out of breakfast, or I'd have to stay at work that much later to make up the time for getting in late or something. So maybe time's better word than effort.
Time is very significant. I know that a couple of things I noticed even after my very first runs was not just the time I spent on the run, but the time I had to spend in recovery. So I'd get back from the run, I'd drink a glass of water, I need to sit down and basically not do anything for another 20 or 30 minutes after the workout. And that's time lost as well. It's not time for the workout itself, but it's time that the workout is consumed that you can't do something else with.
Yeah, so we've already touched on this a little bit, but how much, if at all, did things change with coronavirus for you guys? Was it a drastic change or just kind of business as usual?
I guess I'll jump in. It didn't really change anything for me. I don't think that was when I dropped the Bruce Lee. I think that had already happened by then. It kind of helped me actually get a little bit more time because, not saying I shirked work, but I could be like, eh, people aren't around as much. No one's really knowing when I'm getting in or anything like that. So it didn't matter. It didn't matter as much to be in the office at specific times. So I kind of had a little bit more flexibility that way, even though I'm already in the office earlier than most people.
So, and I guess it's worth noting at this point that maybe the social distancing measures and everything else has affected us a little differently. I have been for the past 3 weeks or so, whenever this all kind of started off, I've been basically working from home. My office has been closed, and we can go into the office, but we've basically been encouraged to stay home and work from home. And so I think it's been a little different from you guys. You guys have largely been going into work as usual? Question mark. Andrew?
I mean,
Travis?
I mean, I have, but we've been deemed official or essential workers. I have a letter in my car in case the cops pull me over because we're under stay at home. But if I had work I could do at home, I would be doing it at home. They still encourage people to do that. That's why there's only like 10 people in my area at this point. But unfortunately, the work I'm doing requires me to be in the office to do it.
I was going to the office for a longer period of time than Paul was, but I was encouraged to do telework as well. And so about a week after Paul started doing his telework, I started doing much more telework. And I was going into the office 2 days a week. That changed when one of my coworkers got a diagnosis of coronavirus, and it was within the window where it might have been spreading, so they sort of locked down the building. And that is getting to the point where it's going to be moot pretty soon, and I'll have to go back in again to continue to clean up the stuff that I need to be doing in the office.
So I can definitively say that there was a large drop-off in my ability to follow my diet once I started working from home. It turns out that I'm really good at planning in advance and packaging up meals and being like, I'm going to have this little salmon fillet and I'm going to have a salad and or whatever. And once I have that food packaged and ready to go and I eat that at work, I'm good. My brain can process, oh, okay, that's all the food I'm getting for today. It turns out that when I'm at home, in my home office, literally like 20 feet from not only a fully stocked kitchen, but an overly stocked kitchen, thanks to not hoarding or anything, but just you know, trying to prep and buy a lot of food in preparation for kind of this lockdown situation, that all of a sudden I'm hungry all the damn time. And every time that there's like, I'm running a query and it's taking a couple minutes to finish, I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm just going to walk out to the kitchen and, you know, satiate my hunger with a bag of chips or some leftovers from last night or whatever it is. And I find that I'm eating a lot more. I'm not following my diet nearly as well. I gave up on the intermittent fasting once I started working from home because I've taken on some responsibilities for the kids in the morning, and I do not want to have to deal with kids in the morning on an empty stomach being in a fasted state, because it just sounds completely miserable. And so that went out the window. I'm eating worse. I'm definitely eating more. And I think that the workouts have been staying pretty consistent, but man, it's pretty incredible the tricks that your brain can play on you.
Do you think it's just the proximity to the food? Because I was, for several months up until January, sometime February, unfortunately right before the outbreak of everything, I was actually teleworking every Wednesday. But I telework in the basement, which means if I wanted food, I would actually have to traipse up the stairs to the kitchen. So I was actually worse. I would drink less water. I would not eat as much food or anything when I was actually home.
I don't know if it's the proximity, more the availability. I've always found throughout my life that my best way of avoiding temptation is to start at the grocery store. Don't buy the sleeve of Oreo cookies or whatever it is. Just don't buy it. Because if it's in the house, at some point, I'm just going to like binge and eat it all and be irresponsible. And so I guess having it being in the same building, well, it's twofold. One is it's just being like so close and available right there. And two is I have, it feels like a mental disorder where I have a real problem with food being wasted. And so if my wife and kids, they're trying to find things to do during the day, they'll bake maybe, you know, a couple trays of cookies and stuff like that. And there's a lot of leftover cookies. And I feel like at some point they're going to get thrown out. I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm going to help the family out and eat these cookies. And it's a weird – I've learned a lot about how my brain works in terms of how easily it like tricks itself into thinking like, oh, no, you're really hungry. You really need to eat something. Or no, really, it makes sense to eat those cookies because if you don't eat them, they're going to get thrown out. And starving kids in Africa are going to die. Like, well, it doesn't make any sense.
Are you eating those cookies on the same day or is it like – days afterwards.
It's usually several days afterwards. Okay. It's not quite that bad.
That's a little bit more justifiable.
Yeah, no, but it's not helpful that I'm by far the person in my family of four who's most willing to eat leftovers, because that means I ultimately end up eating a lot of leftovers. And it's usually not salads. You don't usually have leftover salad. It's usually like leftover pasta or potatoes or some kind of high carb thing that was not exactly in my diet plan.
Well, so what I'll do with that is like, since I buy the salad kits, I'll just make sure to eat the salad, some of the salad with some of the leftovers and just stretch it out over maybe 2 days instead of eating all the leftovers at once.
And there's also been, I'm full of excuses. I'll say this right now. I'm well aware that I'm just making excuses here, but you know, we're stuck at home. We're doing a lot of cooking at home. And, my wife bought, Safeway has these like family pack things where you get like a couple different types of things. I'm like, oh, I'll try cooking this stuff for the kids. Well, a couple days ago, I tried cooking some sausage links, thought that they would love it. Turns out they didn't. And so I had cooked up 8 sausage links, and because my brain is weird, I'm like, well, I guess I got to eat these all now. And that was like 1,500 calories of sausage links for dinner one day. Another time, we saw that Panda Express had some sort of takeout deal where like you...
Well, Panda Express is never healthy.
Yes, that is absolutely true. But they had a takeout deal, and it was like a family meal for like $20 or whatever. That's a great deal. So we got it.
The family deal.
Basically, I ended up eating all the fried rice and all the lo mein because my kids like, oh, the orange chicken, we'll eat all the orange chicken. So I'm rambling now, but basically...
No one won in that meal.
Yeah. Well, the kids really liked it because the orange chicken is like, it's super sweet if you ever had it.
Well, about to say, it's not the healthiest option either.
But it would have been nice to have a little bit of protein in my fried rice instead of just like rice and noodles and everything else. So, like I said, I've got plenty of excuses. I can go all night, but I'll cut myself off right now.
We all have excuses. Yeah. That's part of the thing is we have a goal, we push ourselves, and as we push ourselves, sometimes we fall back. But I think on the whole, I'm happy to have done this. I think the results got to be where I wanted.
That's a good transition. So what do you think? Are you happy with your results, Andrew?
Yeah, as I was saying, I'm pretty happy with where I got. My single biggest accomplishment with the running is that I went from being unable to run any appreciable distance to back into a shape where running a mile or 2 miles or 3 miles even is something that is feasible. I still don't enjoy doing it. I don't want to say that I run because I enjoy running. I don't. I dislike running intensely, but that's why I do it. You know, it's you do the thing that you don't like doing so that you can do the thing you like doing. In this case, maybe eating or whatnot, but it's for the health benefits of it. There are benefits to the experience of running that I do enjoy, but the actual getting up and going running is not something I've ever enjoyed, even when I was running cross country. So it's that weird thing where you're pushing yourself that little bit extra bit, but being back into the shape where at least I have that endurance level to run a mile without collapsing, to run 3 miles without feeling like I'm going to die, it's a big change. And even if it doesn't show up in any of the other fitness numbers, I feel a whole lot better about that.
Well, slight tangent. I had one question for Andrew, especially since you mentioned the running experience. Do you like listen to music or podcasts or anything, or are you just out there listening to your surroundings?
It depends. I try my best to not have stuff to listen to. That's part of the experience of running for me. At least, again, a lot of this was returning to the mindset of me as a high schooler and the things that I did in high school. So I didn't have the Bluetooth headset in high school, so I can't take it with me if I want to have the exact same kind of experience. I definitely took the Bluetooth headphones with me on a couple of my longer runs, and I'd listen to podcasts. Not so much music. Podcasts were the way I was going for my entertainment there, just because I have so many podcasts I want to listen to anyway. It was a way to spend my time listening to podcasts while also doing the workout. But the ideal workout is no music, no podcasts. And yeah, you're listening to the surroundings, but most of what you're listening to is your own brain. You're going on a run and you're having a Zen conversation with yourself, and it's a little bit like sleep at that point. Your brain talks itself through things, and especially when the lack of sugar and lack of oxygen starts to hit your brain too, it does sort of transform your mental state.
Yeah, that's why you hear people say running is my meditation, right? Because you're out there with yourself. Exactly. I forget what the question was that we were actually answering now. Oh, how was our success?
Yeah, I mean, are you happy with the result?
Do you feel it was successful?
I definitely felt I could. Every time I would start one of the new DDP yoga routines, it was a strain. By now, like the three main ones feel just, I don't want to say easy, but I'm definitely not straining as much during them. So that I felt like I saw improvement there. We did actually take all my measurements on the original article. I think I had like circumferences, so like my arms and chest and waist and thighs and everything. It looked like most everything stayed the same. We think maybe I gained an inch on my chest and an inch off my waist. So if that's accurate, that's great. Although we're not sure how we measured my hips because we could not get anywhere close to the number that we had in the article. So I don't think my hips shrunk by like 5 inches. So I'm not sure if we were measuring everything in the same areas. But I don't know, just like... I thought the mirror test, I think we had talked about this in emails, and it sounds kind of vain, but I don't know. In the mirror, it looked like I was not getting ripped or anything, but it definitely looked like there was improvement there, even if it's not coming out in weight or actual measurements.
Yeah, so I'm really torn with my results because I was keeping track of my weight, body fat, and muscle mass as measured by this scale that I have, and almost all of those numbers were identical to the very beginning by the end, which was kind of disappointing because I thought that at least, especially in the first half, and even still, even with my, you know, kind of falling off the wagon a bit at home, I'm still eating far healthier than I was like in the months and probably years leading up to this, where, you know, it wasn't uncommon at all for me to have a couple beers or to go out for fast food a couple times a week or something, and generally would not keep track of what I was eating, and splurge on pizza when having friends over and everything. And to see that was kind of disheartening and kind of disappointing. And at the same time, it's something that I've seen all throughout my life. Every time I've tried to do this, I can't get those numbers to budge. But to Travis's point, and again, I know it sounds a little vain, but like, I do think that, you know, looking in the mirror, it looks like the arms are a little bit bigger. The fat around the stomach, maybe a little bit less pronounced. And definitely I've noticed a performance increase in terms of a lot of the workouts I was doing. There's one P90X3 workout where basically you pick a number of push-ups, a number of pull-ups, and you try and do that repeating different ways. And those were definitely going up each and every workout. I did a higher number and I was able to do it. My maximum number of pull-ups is definitely higher than when I started. For the bench press, I could do, I was measuring it by how many repetitions of 200 pounds I could bench press. I think I almost doubled that from 4 to 7. So definitely it's had an impact. I just wish that, I guess I had the data to back it up, because even when I took a before photo and I took an after photo, and I know we were talking about the mirror test, you look at the two photos, you can't really, it's weird. It definitely, as you, every day as I was looking in the mirror, I'm like, oh, it looks a little bit better. It looks a little bit better. But you look at those two photos, like, huh, it's not like, you know, the before and after photos that you see in all those workout videos late at night when they're like that.
But to be fair, it was only 90 days, and it's not like we were as out of shape as the people on those ads or Biggest Loser or something, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, speak for yourself.
We're not 400 pounds and eating an entire thing of dressing on our salads or that type of stuff. So
1 out of 2 ain't bad. So what did you guys find were the biggest challenges and biggest hurdles that, or maybe not the biggest but the most unexpected, or anything notable that you noticed while doing this, Andrew? Anything?
I think I've mentioned the stuff that is the most obvious and also therefore the most surprising hurdles. The fact that it isn't just the time that you spend doing the workout, but the time that comes after the workout if you really push yourself. Even the Neela Ray style workouts with the kids, okay, we go outside and we do our squats and we do our push-ups and we do our burpees, and I'm miserable and the kids are miserable. They hate PE class with me, by the way, which I think is probably a good sign.
Yeah. Means you're a great teacher.
Yeah. Come inside, and it's like, okay, kids, PE class is over. You can go back to your schoolwork now. And I'll lay down on the floor for 10 or 15 minutes. That's 10 or 15 minutes that's extra workout time that isn't actually, you know, counted in my workout time. And so that's the thing that's both most surprising and also, in retrospect, most obvious.
Travis?
So biggest hurdle would just be my chosen time to do exercising was basically roll out of bed, turn on DDP yoga, and get going. So there's obviously a lot, and I wake up at 5:30, which for some people is early, for some people is not early. But like, there's some mornings certainly where I was like, I really don't want to get up right now. But I stuck through it most of the time, even if that meant, you know, getting to work 15, 20 minutes late because I had to do my workout instead. And one nice thing about the coronavirus was that meant I didn't have to worry about traffic. So it didn't matter like that. Because if I slip my time a little bit, my commute, it can take like twice as long if I miss my window, which is one reason I wake up so early and then do the workout. But I have to do it in the morning because I just, when I get home, it's go time with the kids. It's dinner. It's bedtime. It's a little bit of reading or self time or something. And then it's back to sleep.
Yeah, I have, I want to say three things. One is during the first half, when I had my normal routine driving to work and everything, I surprisingly missed breakfast because prior to this, if I'm to be completely honest, most of the time I was so busy in the morning that I just skipped breakfast and I would pick something up on the way to work whether it's a coffee and like a wake up wrap from Dunkin' Donuts or something from McDonald's or whatever. Obviously not the healthiest thing. And it wasn't even necessarily the food that I missed. It was, I don't know, it's really weird to explain or to describe, but I just kind of missed the experience of like, you know, ordering something, going and picking it up and eating it while driving into work and then finishing off when I get to work. And instead I'm just sitting here like hungry because I'm doing my intermittent fasting and realizing that I'm not gonna be able to eat anything until lunch. And it made a lot of those mornings pretty rough. The other two things are probably kind of the coronavirus related, the timing, which both of you have touched on. It was difficult before and it was really hard after because, things are a little bit, it may seem counterintuitive, but it's busier working from home because the kids are always still there. And so I'm trying to help out in the morning. I'm trying to help out in the afternoon. And as soon as I'm done with work, you know, my wife is ready to hand them off because she's been dealing with them all day. And she's just ready to take any time away from the kids that she can. And so I immediately am, you know, on call for taking care of the kids. And by the time the kids are asleep, man, all I want to do is crack open a beer and just relax because it's been pretty much nonstop from the morning until in no time. Even when I'm in the office working, it doesn't really feel like time by myself because the kids will be coming in every once in a while and I can hear them out there and I'm constantly making trips to the kitchen to eat something. And so I'm seeing them then. And as an introvert, it's draining to you know, kind of always be on. So those were the things that were hard for me. Anything else for you guys? Or anything that was notably easy that you were surprised that you didn't have more trouble with? No, or nothing. None of this was easy.
It was not easy.
So do you think you're going to continue on with any of this or all of it?
I'm going to try and keep up with some of the dietary things. I do like tuna. I liked it before. I like it still. I intend to eat a lot of it. It's a healthy-ish choice for me. It's less of a factor right now because I'm not taking lunches into the office, but as I go back and transition more into the office world, I'll be bringing tuna sandwiches with me pretty regularly, and I'll be doing more office work soon, I expect. And going running on a regular basis, I still like doing that. I you know, get the meditation time, and I get a little bit of time alone where I get to just see the outside world again. The question is always coming down to how much time do I have to do it? And as we've discussed many times before, it's all about what are you making a priority? And this is something that for my health, both physical and actually mental, I need to continue to try and make a priority. And so being able to do it for a couple of weeks, a couple of months, means that it's given me a stepping point to continue to try and make it more of a priority in the future.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to try to keep up with it. It here's goes with some of the excuses, like, though, you know, this first Monday and Tuesday, I was like, the challenge is over. I don't have to keep working out. Ha ha ha. But I was also like, I had that 50-minute workout I had mentioned, like, I kind of like, I don't want to say sprained, but I definitely did something to one of my wrists because there was a lot of poses I hadn't been used to doing. So I might have been balancing wrong. So again, it was kind of that first week woes I had where I was like, okay, I'm gonna take it easy so I don't hurt this wrist. But yeah, I mean, we're recording this on a Wednesday and I was right back at it this morning and eating a salad for lunch. Granted, I had a little bit of leftover pasta with it, but whatever.
So I'm gonna spring this on you guys right now. Should we sign up for another 3-month dare/challenge and check in 3 months from now and see how we are? Silence. Non-committal grunting.
I mean, it sounds like the next 3 months are going to be harder on you guys than on me, because like by and large our household schedule has not changed all that much. Yes, both kids are home, but since I'm still going into the office and my wife already stayed at home, it by and large hasn't, it basically jump-started our summer vacation.
Andrew?
I would say I'm interested, but one of the things that made this successful for me was, you know, the added bit of peer pressure, the check-ins and conversations. If we didn't have that, I'm not sure that, you know, the result in 3 months' time would be as flattering to me, for sure.
So that's a great transit. Oh, Travis, go ahead.
Well, maybe that's what you're going to transition to, but I know we hadn't discussed about how many, because we had been tracking how many days we actually did miss our workouts.
That was exactly what I was going to transition to. Great minds think alike. So peel back the curtain a little bit. We did have a little bit of a money bet on the side in terms of to try and give us a little bit of peer pressure and keep us ourselves accountable. I don't know if we'll get into the details of that, but we did track, I think, largely how many times we worked out each week. And the goal, if I recall correctly, was 5 times a week we were looking for workouts.
Yeah, basically gave everybody 2 rest days a week.
Yeah, and I guess, should we reveal? I've already told you guys offline, I think I missed 3. There were 3 weeks where I missed I had more than 2 rest days, basically. I had 3 rest days. So I missed 3 workouts. And we don't have to settle accounts here online, but does anyone else want to share how many missed workouts they had so we can give them shame?
So since I had my number already up, I missed 6 total, and I know it was the first two were because, jumping right into this, I kind of overexerted myself on one of those workouts, and so I skipped 2 days. 4 weeks after that, I was out playing football or something with my son, and man, my arm muscle or my pec muscle was not used to that. And I just wound up kind of skipping those because yoga, and I was still doing Bruce Lee, is a lot of, you know, push-ups and planks and everything. So my shoulder just wasn't up to that. And then another one, before all the coronavirus or something, I had some sort of stomach bug that just knocked me out for 36 hours. That was when I told you guys I fell asleep at 5:30 one day and didn't wake up until like 7 o'clock 2 days later.
Yeah.
So obviously I wasn't working out then either.
Yeah. And I'm pretty lucky because oftentimes in the past when I've tried these things, something will happen that will completely derail me. Usually a lot of times I'll like hurt my back, or I'll hurt my hamstring or my elbow, or I'll get sick or something like that. This time I had the flu, I think, a week before we started. I was completely recovered by the time we started. And I only had 1 week where I think I slightly tweaked my back, and I was able to kind of work around it by doing different exercises. Other than that, and I'm going to knock on wood right here. You can probably hear that through the microphone. I stayed relatively healthy, which is huge, because that helps a lot.
It really does. I missed a couple of days because on one of my runs, I twisted my ankle and I had to not go running for a couple of days. I tried to just walk instead, but even that was really too much and I couldn't put the distance on. So I lost a couple of days there. And then the transition phase of going from not coronavirus to having the kids at home, I lost a fair bit of time there before I retransitioned into something else that worked out for me. So in total, I missed out on 14 workouts.
Wow. So I think we know who the loser is.
That's definitely me.
Now, here's a question. Do we want to try and do the Batman workout again?
Well, I've got a little bit of practice with similar style stuff already. I just need to work on making sure that I can do those repetitions.
Yeah. Well, maybe we can discuss offline, and if we do end up doing something, we'll make sure to let you guys know on the rampantdiscourse.com website.
What I could possibly do is look at all the other workouts and see if, granted, my son's name is Bruce, so he'll probably pick Batman anyway, but see if there's one that he does. Because right now, with the coronavirus, he's not going to jiu-jitsu. They've been trying to do, this is another topic too, about they've been trying to do virtual jiu-jitsu classes.
And not he's easy only, with jiu-jitsu.
He's only,
Not easy with jiu-jitsu, I don't think.
Not very easy with jiu-jitsu. So yeah. Basically, the first class, we gave him a giant teddy bear that's almost his size. And the next class, I jumped in there and helped him do stuff because he kind of needed somebody to actually be doing something to him, not a teddy bear sitting there on the floor.
Can he throw you yet?
No, I definitely point out, and the instructors actually are good too, saying like, as much as we're going to teach you guys this stuff, it's not going to work when you go to do it on an adult. So don't don't try to fight an adult still.
Still run away. All right. Well, is there anything else you guys want to add before we wrap things up?
I mean, I think it's definitely good that it kept us all working out. Like Andrew said, the peer pressure adds to it. Like there any morning where I was like, I don't want to get up, but I don't want to have to say I missed a workout. So that definitely did help me maintain a better schedule. I probably would have missed far more than 6 days just mentally if I hadn't had that working on me.
Yeah, I think Andrew and I realized that, and I think we mentioned this with the Xbox Fitness a while ago, the competition and peer pressure and accountability is, at least for me, it's what I respond to the most.
Yeah, if this is something that you're interested out there, obviously do it. First and foremost, just doing it is more important than anything else. But you'll have more success doing it and sticking with it if you get yourself an accountability partner, someone who can check in with you on a regular basis, who you will tell the truth to, and who can say, okay, good job, or, yeah, I can see where it didn't work out that way, but that doesn't mean that you failed. Just get back up, try again, and, you know, encourage you to keep going.
All right. That sounds like as good a place as any to end this on. So leave us a review on iTunes. Join the discussion at discord.io/rampantdiscourse. You can read. We actually have a couple articles up on rampantdiscourse.com, including some every month or so check-ins. So you can see how get some more information about some of the workout plans that we did and some of the diet plans that we did. That's rampantdiscourse.com. Follow us on Twitter at rampantdisc. We also have a Facebook page, facebook.com/rampantdiscourse. Anything else that I missed? All right.
I think you covered it.
All right. Keep moving, stay safe, wash your hands, and can't stop the discourse.